Well, praise the Lord for new mercies, new morning mercies. Tim Conway and I had a good trip to Portland, Maine, and got in Thursday evening, and very profitable. I look forward to giving a report on that this week, either by email or certainly probably a brief word this morning later. So let's jump right in to the subject matter with opening in prayer, and then we'll look at this last session on praying or reading and praying the Bible. So let's pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we say from our hearts this morning, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. On earth today in our hearts, our lives, our families, our church, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask you this hour to teach us and help us and to bless your word to our lives in such a way that we would see this morning how to pray more biblically, more fruitfully. Lord, it would change our walk with you and our relationship with you. We thank you, Father, that you hear us because of your Son, our Savior. We thank you that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and your ears are open unto their cries. We thank you that we have access today and every day and every moment, this unchanging, the new covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant. And we thank you this morning for the truth that is meant to set us free, your word. We just give you this time. Give us ears to hear. And help me, Holy Spirit, I pray, to speak in such a way that would glorify you and edify and build up and help these, my brothers and sisters. This time is yours, in Christ's name. Amen. Much of what I'm going to emphasize this morning in this final session on reading and praying the Bible. And all these, by the way, if you don't know, are always going to be uploaded on the website. All of Brother Lee's are. I don't know how quickly that happens, probably within 24 hours. So you can know, you can go back and hear if you've missed. But the first two sessions we dealt with reading the Bible devotionally. And to make it a feast, to let your heart take it in. And I referred to praying in there because that's certainly right. As you read the Bible and something strikes you, you should take a moment just as you're reading to turn that into a prayer. And I know that you as a believer already do that. You've learned to do that. But what I'm talking about this morning is something altogether different. It's separate from Bible reading. Have you ever, I remember being in bookstores sometimes and I'd see this very nice black cover in a used bookstore in the section of the Bibles. And so I said, well, that looks like a nice Bible. I'd pull it down. And it was a book of prayer. And so, have you ever seen a book of prayer? I know some of you have. A book of prayer is prayers that denominations or churches will create out of the Bible, usually, hopefully. And they're not just Scripture, but they're prayers based on Scripture. Now, they might take from the Psalter psalms that are virtually strictly prayers. But, so, you know, if I do have a book of prayer at home, and I've never gotten in the habit of using it. But sometimes I've had with me my black Bible and a black prayer book. And you wouldn't know the difference if you didn't open the two. Now, the prayer books usually aren't this big, but you get my point. Well, what I want you to do is to go away picturing the Bible really as two books. It's God's Word for information, for instruction, for teaching, for correction, for reproof, to declare to us the whole counsel of God. It's for preaching and teaching. It's for the edification of the saints. It's for our mind being renewed to the truth. It's to equip us in all the words of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is right here. Isn't that amazing? But this book, I want you also, from here on out, viewing it as your prayer book. Because there is a spiritual discipline that's different than just devotionally reading the Bible. And it is intentionally going to the Bible when you're going to have a time of prayer and learning to pray the Scriptures. How do we pray the Bible? Well, a man named John Piper gives a pretty, a lot, sometimes I use the word neat, a very workable, good working definition of praying the Bible. Here it is. Quote, praying the Word means reading or reciting Scripture, reciting it, saying it out loud, reading or reciting Scripture in a spirit of prayer and letting the meaning of the verses become our prayer and inspire our thoughts. Okay? Praying the Word means reading and reciting Scripture in a spirit of prayer and letting the meaning of the verses become our prayer and inspire our thoughts. Now, somebody just give me a quick response. If I pray Scripture and I let the meaning of it become my words, how does that inspire my thoughts then in prayer? You know what I'm saying? How would praying the Bible in the act of praying it inspire my thoughts? Well, a simple answer, what I'm looking for is, it could suddenly bring something else to mind to pray right then that you would not have thought of to pray in your prayer time were you not praying that passage. Praying the Bible inspires our thoughts and creatively teaches us how to pray more effectively. So, it's a great reality for us to think about when we think about this. See, as I alluded the last 2 weeks, Christians often have a problem with prayer, and that is the fact that prayer is the most awesome, the most amazing privilege that a child of God has in the earth to talk to and commune with, to converse with the living God, our Heavenly Father. So, why don't we pray more? And why don't we enjoy prayer more? Why does it become a drudgery? Why does it become something we may not look forward to with joy? Or we can even grow bored in prayer. And some of you may never grow bored in prayer, but some Christians do. Meaning, you pray, the next day you pray week after week, and prayer kind of can become a mundane routine where you kind of run out of things to pray. You don't know how to get out of your ruts of how you pray regularly. So we can grow bored in prayer, and it's because I think, as Don Whitney says, and much of what I'm saying today is I credit Don Whitney for, because he's a longtime friend of mine. We were in school together, and he's written a marvelous book, Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life. And this book, Praying the Bible, is the basis of what I'm talking about this morning. It's very small, very 2 hours. Any Christian could read it, probably less than that. But not everything I'm saying here today is from his book, but there's material that is, so I want to give Don credit. So, when we've prayed 1,000 times about the same old things with the same words, we run into a problem where our prayer life can be stale or inconsistent and not enjoyable. And it's almost like a car that's really out of tune and it just won't. You ever seen a car that's really out of tune and it won't go past 50, and if you try, it starts backfiring, and it's an embarrassment. You know, well, prayer lives can become that way. You don't know how to get it tuned. You don't know how to make progress. And so you're at this wall of how can I improve my prayer life? What I'm going to talk to you about this morning, though most of you probably have never done this, use the Bible as a book of prayer. But I believe this is really a solution. It's not the only way to pray, but I believe if we will start our times of prayer daily, weekly, in praying the Scriptures, it will jumpstart. It will cleanse. It will renew. It will invigorate our prayer life. It's almost like praying the Bible will launch you. If you pray the first 10 or 15 minutes, just pray the Bible, it will launch you into praying more effectively, more joyfully, about all the other things and for all the other people you always want to pray for. T.M. Moore said, "Nothing has brought more vigor, satisfaction, and consistency to my own prayers as this one discipline, praying the Bible." He said it added vigor, satisfaction, and consistency. Now, just think of those three words, vigor. Isn't it wonderful if you have a vigorous prayer life? Bob Jennings had a vigorous prayer life. I can think of men, you pray with them. Baylor Zupke and Iowa, vigorous prayer life. They pray with reality. They pray with true passion. They pray with their heart. Praying the Bible will build vigor in your prayer life. And then Moore uses the word satisfaction. Well, I'm going to think how to illustrate this. The Holslanders and I went to eat a few months ago to this restaurant. I like barbecue. But they took me to a place over in Plano, and it was the best barbecue I'd ever tasted in my life. So it spoiled me to any other barbecue. It's too far for me to drive over there, but it satisfied my barbecue appetites to a degree I had never experienced before. Praying the Bible will do that with prayer. It satisfies your heart of prayer far more than any uninspired prayers you can drum up. Vigor, satisfaction, and what was the third word? Who was really listening? Some of you wrote it down, so go ahead and read it. What was the third word? Consistency. Consistency. I'm convinced the reason some Christians are consistent is because they're not satisfied enough in prayer and find delight in it. It keeps them daily looking forward to it. And so we grow inconsistent. But when you have this book to pray and you learn to pray it, you will never run out of material to pray. Every day you go to pray, it's brand new material. It's like a new playbook. You're never going to exhaust it. You're never used to it. And so, turning the words of Scripture into prayers and praying God's words back to Him. You think the Lord would answer more prayers or be delighted in prayer or draw near to the prayers that are strictly His words being spoken back to Him in prayer? Absolutely, He would. Praying God's Word back to Him. And it's very simple, because if someone can read the Bible, they can pray the Bible. So here's a fundamental question. We really have to believe in our hearts if we want to go from point A to point B, B to C, and on in our prayer life. Here's the question you have to answer. Does God want you to have a meaningful, satisfying, and consistent prayer life? How do you answer that in your heart? You have to be persuaded that He does. You have to really believe that He does. Hebrews 11, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those who believe that He is, and then believe that He's a rewarder. So you have to believe God does want me to have a consistent and fruitful prayer life. The Australian preacher Graham Miller said this: for freshness of utterance, for breadth of comprehension — he's talking about prayer — for freshness of utterance, for breadth of comprehension, for elevation of thought, and for intimacy of heart, there is no prayer like that, no prayer like that which forms itself from the words of Scripture. So, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the Psalms are given to us to this end, that we may pray them in the name of Jesus Christ. So here's just a long-term challenge. What if in 2016 you didn't just read the Psalms, or maybe you don't read them at all? What if in 2016 you prayed through every Psalm? You took the words of each Psalm and you make it your own prayer and you personalize it. In fact, let's see that right now. Let's do that right now. Turn. We're not going to do it out loud, but we're going to do it. Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now, your words and your Bible may be different than my version, but we're just going to read through this. And I want you looking at it, and I'm truly going to pray it. I'm not going to do an acting job of prayer here. I'm going to pray it to the Lord. And as I go, as you read it, you can in your heart silently pray it as well, how you want to. But see, I'm not just going to literally pray only what's there. I'm going to turn it into prayer from what I read that's there, okay? So Psalm 23. Lord, You are my shepherd, and I'm so thankful that You are my shepherd. Because You're a good shepherd. I just think how You've shepherded me. You've kept me all my life. Lord, right now, my family comes to mind. Some of them are still sleeping. But I pray today You'd hear me, that You'd shepherd them today. Guide them away from the ways of the world. Keep them in all their ways. Lord Jesus, You're the good shepherd of the sheep. You are our shepherd. So, keep us and lead us. I pray for my children, Lord. You'd cause them all to be your sheep. I pray they would love you as their shepherd, as I do. And Lord, in all my decisions and my choices today and this week, what we face this week, Lord, shepherd us, keep us. Cause me to know the path you want me to go in. And Lord, I thank you that you've said here, I will not be in want. I won't be in need. This is a promise from you that you will provide all my needs. I praise you for that, Lord. I can think of how faithfully you've provided for us. So thank you, Lord, that you are my provider and I shall not want. And you make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me, Lord. You restore me. And I'm so thankful for that. How many times you've led me and I didn't know it. And I want to be led by you. I want to be a good follower. Lord, thank you that you restore my soul. You are my restorer. How many times you've done that for me. You've restored my joy, my peace, my strength, my health. You are the great restorer, Lord Jesus. And I want to be led in the paths of righteousness. So I pray, Lord, that you would do that for me. And I'm so grateful, as your word says here, that you are with me. No matter what I feel, Lord, today, you are with me. You promised me to be with me. You said there in the New Testament, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So thank for your presence, your sure promised presence. And Lord, I need your comfort. I don't know all that your rod and your staff means. It's certain guidance, certain authority. But Lord, these things are meant to bring comfort to me. I need your comfort. I pray you'd comfort, Lord, us. And I think of that brother and sister in the church who are discouraged. Comfort them today, Lord. Help them. And thank you that you always prepare a table, even in the presence of enemies. Lord, you feed me. You provide all that's needed, even in hard times of opposition. And I thank you that you have an anointing to put upon me to cause my life to overflow. And I know that's your Holy Spirit. So Lord, freshly today, this year, anoint my head with oil. The brothers and sisters that I worship with, Lord, the dear church, anoint their heads with oil. Let their cups overflow more. Lord, I thank you for these two good friends that follow me all the time, goodness and mercy. Lord, thank you that these have been my rear guard, that they have been my bodyguards sent out by you. Your goodness follows me and your mercy follows me. And it can never not be true. All the days of my life, they will be my companions. Let me know the reality of that. And Father, I thank you for the wonderful future promise of eternal life and dwelling in everlasting glory, that I'm going to be in your house forever. Blessed be your name, Lord, today. I'm grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you have a daily time of prayer, does what come out of your heart when you're not praying the Bible, is it that creative? Does your mind go to think about those things? Do you ever pray that way with that much content? Do you pray about such things? Normally, do those things that I prayed about and that you prayed about, do those normally come to your mind, kind of all over the map there? Well, for me, no. The Bible produces that for me to pray, you see, and that's what makes it a glorious, glorious reality. Piper says, open the Bible, start reading it, pause at every verse, and turn it into a prayer. Now, you'll come to a verse and you won't know how to pray it. You won't know, you can't see, well, how can I pray this? Then don't. Go to the next one. You keep going to verses until they speak to you. And then you get to imprecatory psalms like, Lord, dash their children on the rocks and judge them with a sword. Well, you know, there might be somebody you work with you're tempted to pray that for. Don't go there. No. But how can you use those imprecatory psalms to pray? A lot of spiritual enemies, sin, besetting sins, the work of the devil trying to rob God's kingdom. You can pray against pray those imprecatory prayers against the evil one. There have been times where wicked men were really attacking God's people, attacking God's men. And I know of cases where saints prayed imprecatory prayers, and those against such people, and those people died that week after they started being prayed for. Now, why did David even pray imprecatory prayers? Why did the Holy Spirit inspire those? And I'm not going to just a minute on this, because this is a problem when you come to those. You don't even know how to pray those in the Old Testament. Because you see some imprecatory prayers in the New Testament, but it is different. Because David's praying, Lord, judge my enemies or judge your enemies. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, pray for your enemies and love your enemies. So we can have this conflict, this tension on how to use those prayers. But we kind of just use common sense. We ought to pray them against wicked men that God needs to bring down. We ought to pray for about sins and about things being defeated that really need to be defeated. Abortion clinics, Lord, judge them, bring them in. Often when I drive by wicked places of businesses, I'm talking about really wicked ones, as I pass by, I'll pray in a precatory prayer. Lord, I pray you judge that place and save the owner and close that business. And I don't know if any of them have ever been answered, but I don't have to know. So, let me hurry on. Now, think of the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew chapter 6. Is it 6, 7, 6? 6? This irks me. This bothers me. Public groups that aren't Christian mix with unregenerate people who use prayers as a social tradition. So groups at different times will start reciting the Lord's Prayer, right? And so here's public, whatever setting, and they, in unison, will be led to recite the Lord's Prayer. And how much of that group doing that, and how much of the whole of it do you think is really prayer? Or how many people doing it haven't even said it in a long time? They haven't even prayed in a long time. So their whole concentration is timidly saying it to try to remember even the words, to try to repeat it. Much like the Pledge of Allegiance. That's not true prayer. And it's not truly praying the Lord's Prayer. But when you think about Matthew 6, let's go look at it. Because it's not just the Psalms. The Bible is a book of prayer. After you go to Matthew 6, we'll pause before we look into it. Looking at the Bible as a book of prayer, think how many prayers are recorded in the Old Testament. Long prayers, short prayers, Moses' prayers, Joshua's prayers. I can keep naming men. I don't need to. Many of the Old Testament prophets, their prayers are recorded. Solomon has some fantastic prayers. David through the Psalm has these little cries, almost one-word prayers, one phrase. Hear me, O Lord. Psalm 80, there's one verse that says, help us, O God. Deliver, O Lord. Hurry, Lord. These cries that are one word that hit the nerve for what they want God to do. See, that's a glorious thing that we can do. Sometimes our praying just needs to be that, Lord, help me. Please just help me. I want your help. Help me, O God. Father, help me. Hear me. Praying these little prayers like that, right out of Scripture. They're more eloquent than you trying to figure out how to pray something on your own. And then you get into the New Testament. There's some special prayers also in the Minor Prophets. You get into the New Testament and you see the prayers of the Lord Jesus that are recorded. You see the United Church prayers recorded in the book of Acts. They were mightily answered. And then Paul's prayers in his epistles, Ephesians and various epistles. And then little prayers at the end of the New Testament epistles that are closing prayers. They're, what would you call them? There's a word for it. Huh? Benediction prayers, right. May the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. You have these little benediction prayers at the end of the epistles that are marvelous to pray. So the Bible, God has made it a prayer book. But we don't use it as a prayer book enough. Intentionally. And I urge you, I entreat you, I'm asking you in 2016 to turn your Bible into a book of prayer. In your prayer time, find places to pray. The Psalms is as good as any. But it doesn't matter. I mean, you start going through Ephesians. You see what Paul prays for the Ephesians? Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. Well, it doesn't have to be a prayer to turn it into a prayer, does it? Pray about the armor of God. Ask God to teach you how to wear it and wield it and use it. Any section of Scripture can be turned into prayer. You know, I think about 1 Chronicles. You read through some of that. Ravenhill used to say some sections seem like as dry as a mouthful of sand. You're reading these Chronicles. Name. And then you get to the one verse, 1 Chronicles 4:10, I think it is. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that your hand might be with me, that you'd keep me from evil. And God granted him that which he requested. Well, man, that's just a well springing up in the desert of that chapter with all these names. So any place in Scripture, any chapter in Scripture, you could find something to turn it, to pray it, to turn it into a prayer. All right. I'm going to stop and see if anyone has questions at this point at all. All right. Matthew 6. Verses 9 through, really I include through 15. But think about the context here. If you came to read Matthew 6 one morning in your reading, and maybe you have enough time for reading of a chapter and some prayer, well, why not use Matthew 6 for both? And after you read it and observe and meditate in it, then go back to the beginning to begin to pray. And so you start reading it and you observe there, you've already read, Jesus is giving warning about practicing your righteousness to impress others. And so think of how you could start praying there about your motives. Lord, help me never to do that. Help me never try to act righteously outwardly to impress somebody. I don't want to practice my righteousness outwardly in order to be seen by people. You keep going down through there. Lord, don't let me have a motive of wanting the praise of others. Let all that I do be with a motive of secrecy unto you, to please you. And now in verse 5, he starts talking about prayer. Well, then that reaches right into the hidden motives of our heart. When we pray, are we trying to impress people? When we pray publicly, are we afraid of what people will think? Prayer is not horizontal. It's vertical. Audience of one. Don't worry about others. So you get to verse 9. And look how they call this the Lord's Prayer, but it really is the disciples' prayer. He's teaching them not an exact prayer just to recite and quote. He's teaching them principles of prayer. Here's what the kind of things you ought to pray about. These are the kingdom realities that ought to be prayed for. And so if you come to pray this Lord's Prayer, and you pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, well, think how you can launch into other things to pray about right there. Lord, you've not always been my Father. I'm so thankful you saved me and you became my Father. And you can pray about your sonship. You can rejoice in your salvation. You see, that one phrase, Our Father who art in heaven, is pregnant with prayer material. And then, hallowed be your name. That's a request. Let your name be hallowed. Let your name be honored. Well, suddenly you think, is God's name being honored in Denton County, the way it should be? Lord, I want your name honored more widely. Cause our church to truly honor your name. Lord, advance the cause of missions and advance your glory in the world more, because your name needs to be hallowed and worshipped in Africa and in Mexico and in the worst part of Chicago. Let your name be honored. So you start praying this, and it leads you creatively to be praying for 5 minutes about God's name being honored. What about my sons, my children? Lord, in some of my children, your name is being honored, but in some of them, it's not. They're not converted yet. Lord, save them. Get them and make their lives an honor to your name. You see how you can begin? Now, praying for children is not a meaning. It's not an exegetical meaning of verse 9, is it? No. But it's certainly an application. So if you begin to be inspired to pray things that aren't taught in the verse, that's fine. Because you're praying. You're not interpreting Scripture. All right? So we could go through the rest of the verse, but that Lord's Prayer is pregnant with all kinds of truth. You can begin to pray, and I promise you, you could have 30 minutes of prayer if you just prayed verses 9 through 13 and you let it launch you out. So, questions? All right. we're going to take a few minutes to do this individually where we are. Not out loud, but we're just going to have a quiet time. And you may already have a passage of Scripture on your mind that you could do. And you go ahead and do that one. But for those who don't, let's take Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, and let's do this. You turn there as if one morning in reading through Colossians, Philip will be preaching this probably in 3 years when he gets to Colossians 3. But you may be reading Colossians 1 in your daily readings. You come to chapter 3, and here you are. And you see, boy, this would be good to pray. I'm just going to pray this morning. Well, you do what Piper said. Here you've opened the Bible, and you're going to come to verse 12, and you pause at each verse, and you turn it into a prayer. So I don't want you to rush through this. You're not just quoting this in prayer. You're turning each verse into a prayer. In your own words, and you're praying what comes to mind in relation to that verse. So, and you look at what's in verse 12, look at all the food there is to pray about how much more you need those graces that just verse 12 talks about. Because I know, like me, you are not 100% 24/7 kind to everybody. Even your wife, your children, your neighbors, or the dog. You're not always kind. So right there, there's some good food for prayer. So let's do this. Let's end our time just with a quiet time of praying Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And you use this time to pray before the Lord. And we'll stop at 9:45. And if you're finished early and you need to go out for any reason, you're free to, but we'll end our class with this exercise of praying the Bible.
Really? I noticed it a couple of times. I'm gonna forget about it. Thank you.
grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our opening reading is Psalm 99. We had a wonderful time with Brother Mac walking through or teaching on how to pray from the Scriptures. And so if you didn't get to hear it, try to avail yourself this week and listen to that. It'll be very helpful and equip you and allow you to walk in some fresh ways to read and then pray God's Word. I'll read this and then Brother Lee will lead out in the corporate call to worship. Verse 1, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, or awesome name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast the God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord is